NASA's Glory satellite ends up in liquid orbit. The Air Force successfully launches another X-37B. And Healy Expo opens in Orlando. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 7th, 2011. It's been a mixed weekend for space news. On Friday, NASA had to break out its Thesaurus as a Taurus XL launch vehicle carrying the Glory satellite failed to shed the protective shroud around the spacecraft, and as a result entered liquid orbit in the South Pacific. The disappointment happened minutes after launch from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California, about 2:10 a.m. Pacific time. Or, as Ascent commentator Richard Hanke spun it, quote, "We have had a contingency on the Glory mission," unquote. Telemetry showed the pressurization intended to force the fairing open happened on cue, but the two halves did not separate. The loss of the spacecraft is valued at $424 million and follows launch delays caused by problems with ground equipment. It's also the second consecutive mission failure involving the Orbital Sciences Taurus XL launch vehicle. Another failure of a shroud to separate in February of 2009 caused the loss of NASA's $273 million orbiting carbon observatory. The U.S. Air Force had better luck later in the day Saturday with the second consecutive successful launch of the X-37B unmanned spaceplane. Dubbed OTV-2 for Orbital Test Vehicle 2, the craft successfully reached orbit following launch atop an Atlas V from Cape Canaveral at 5:46 p.m. Eastern Time. The launch follows the successful flight of OTV-1, which made an autonomous landing at Vandenberg December 3rd after 224 days in space. According to officials, post-flight analysis of OTV-1 revealed no significant changes were needed, but detailed assessments of the first mission are ongoing. As with the first mission, mission specifics have not been revealed, but it's probably safe to say amateur astronomers will again be tracking the orbits. Among the differences between Boeing's 787 Dreamliner and legacy airliner types is the brakes. These are electric, not hydraulic. The electric system has completed dedicated flight test conditions for certification, according to a news release from Goodrich Corporation. The system uses Goodrich's proprietary DuraCarb carbon heat sink material, claimed to provide exceptional performance and up to 35% better brake life than competing carbon friction materials. The FAA and European Union formally signed an agreement Thursday to work together on research aimed at providing seamless air traffic service to aircraft flying between the U.S. and Europe. The agreement was signed in Budapest and calls for both sides to research the interoperability of avionics, communication protocols and procedures, and operational methods under NextGen and its European counterpart, Single European Sky. The agreement encourages industry participation on both sides of the Atlantic. Up next on ANN, Eurocopter introduces the new EC-145T2. A new portable mission display runs on Windows XP. And flight instructors can now choose a FERC in the form of a webinar. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 7th. I'm Paul Plack. Helicopter Association International's Healy Expo 2011 officially opened yesterday in Orlando, and among the manufacturer announcements saved for the moment was the introduction by Eurocopter of what it hyped as a new era in helicopter flight. Following a multimedia review of its current product line, the company unveiled a full-scale mock-up of the EC-145T2, the latest variation on its popular twin-engine line. CEO Lutz Bertling emerged from the cockpit of the mock-up, welcomed visitors, and discussed the machine's new fenestron, Ariel 2E engines, upgraded main and tail rotor gearboxes, and a new modular avionics suite. He also thanked representatives on hand from launch customers InAir, Metro Aviation, and Lewis Energy Group. First deliveries are expected in 2012. Also on display at Healy Expo is the TACView portable mission display from Esterline CMC Electronics. The self-contained computer and display system provides access to moving maps, live weather, approach plates, checklists, flight and maintenance manuals, frequency and call sign lists, passenger and cargo manifests, as well as any other customer-created Windows-based applications, software, and documents. Designed for autonomous operation and use in harsh environments, TACView can be installed and removed in seconds. It's night vision compatible, interfaces seamlessly with most aircraft data networks, and can often be installed without modification to the aircraft's legacy systems. TACView runs Microsoft XP-compliant software, and the manufacturer says the system has been selected by Lockheed for the C-130J to perform secure tactical data link communications and paperless cockpit operations. Bell Helicopter has timed the release of a new website to coincide with Healy Expo. Bell says it partnered with Element 115 to create a site, which allows visitors to get desired information in 3 clicks or less, 90% of the time. See it for yourself at www.bellhelicopter.com. AV Seminars is now offering flight instructors a convenient and effective webinar series for renewing their CFI credentials. The 8-day, 2-hour-per-day series begins March 28th. With a webcam, headset, and high-speed internet connection, CFIs can now participate in a FERC presented Monday through Thursday between 8 and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That's late enough to be accessible even to some instructors in the Western U.S. time zones. President and Chief Instructor Bruce Misek clarifies that each 2-hour nightly module may be taken consecutively or spread out over several weeks or months, as long as the first module is taken within 4 months of the CFI's renewal date and the 8 modules are completed by the renewal date. Classes are limited to 24, and the total cost is $96, which includes the temporary airman certificate. Get more details on the web at avseminars.com. Still ahead, EAA has evidence Young Eagles really is working. NBAA wants private aircraft flights kept private. And shampoo never, but box cutters can get through. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 7th. I'm Paul Plack. A considerable amount of time, money, and effort has been poured into the Experimental Aircraft Association's Young Eagles program, yet the pilot population has continued to decline. This has led skeptics to ask, not unreasonably, if this is a successful strategy, where are all the new pilots? Well, now, some data mining by the FAA and EAA suggests that the pilot population decline could have been much worse in recent years without the program. Specifically, youngsters who've experienced Young Eagles flights earn pilot certificates at more than 5 times the rate of the general population. Further, 9% of those pilots are female, compared to just 6% of the current U.S. pilot population. Other revelations include the discovery that multiple Young Eagles flights, or a first flight at age 13 or later, increase the likelihood of certificate completion even more. EAA Chairman Tom Poberesny announced the findings in his position report column in the current issue of EAA Sport Aviation. We're hoping to speak with Tom to get more background this week in the Aero News special feature. There's been some controversy surrounding a call by the FAA for comments on the current ability of private aircraft operators to shield their flights from access by the aircraft situation display, a graphic depiction in real time of the location, altitude, airspeed, destination, estimated time of arrival, and tail number or designated identifier of air carrier and general aviation aircraft operating on IFR flight plans within U.S. airspace. It facilitates the tracking by individuals of the minute-by-minute progress of aircraft in real time. The FAA now makes that data available to subscribers through several vendors. As it stands, operators of private aircraft using BAR, the Block Aircraft Registration Request Program, can hide their flights from the system with no questions asked. The FAA proposes to require operators to demonstrate a valid security concern. The National Business Aviation Association, which administers BAR for the FAA, has filed comments against the change. A statement outlining its opposition says in part, quote, "When the sanctity of citizens' private conduct is threatened by the use of information technology, government's job is to protect the individual, not facilitate the intrusion. That's why the public isn't given access to E-ZPass records detailing where people are driving, or to credit card transactions revealing what consumers are buying," unquote. NBAA President Ed Boland says the bottom line is, quote, "NBAA sees no reason why our government should want to provide unknown parties, especially those engaged in corporate espionage, or simply those who may wish to do harm to others, with the tools to electronically stalk U.S. citizens or companies on general aviation airplanes. We will vigorously oppose this plan, and we expect that individuals and businesses will raise a chorus of strong, unified opposition to it as well," unquote. Construction could begin as early as next month on a new maintenance facility at Plattsburgh International Airport in upstate New York. Plattsburgh is a former military base which was transformed partly in the hopes of serving the Montreal market. Laurentian Aerospace Corporation says it has completed the initial closing of its overall financing, and that final closing will take place on or before March 17th, with commercial operations beginning in late 2012 or early 2013. Eric Jurgensen, CEO of Verdant Technical Solutions, LLC, and Verdant Capital Group, LLC, which are providing funding for the Laurentian project, confirmed, quote, "We are very proud to be involved with Laurentian and look forward to the start of construction of the project. We have enormous confidence in the Laurentian management team and in our combined business plans. We are especially enthusiastic regarding the local and regional support for this project and the addition it will make to the economy of the region," unquote. Gary Douglas, president of the North Country Chamber of Commerce, predicts, quote, "This will transform Plattsburgh International Airport into North America's newest emerging aerospace center, not only putting us in the aerospace business, but doing it in a way that positions us at the forefront of new technology and innovation," unquote. And finally today, a passenger boarding an international flight at JFK apparently made it all the way to the airplane with three box cutters in his carry-on. The New York Post reports the passenger was asked by a flight attendant to stow his carry-on in the overhead bin, and when he did, the box cutters fell out. The cabin crew immediately grabbed them and reported the problem, and departure was delayed for a three-hour bomb search of the plane. The passenger, Eusebio Peraltalahara of Jersey City, was not charged with any crime. He explained that he used the box cutters in his job and forgot they were in his bag. TSA says the screeners who missed the box cutters, however, and their supervisor will all be disciplined and undergo remedial training. Thank goodness they at least didn't let Mr. Peraltalahara get on the plane with more than 3 ounces of shampoo. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves wants the FAA to require a type rating to fly advanced composite general aviation aircraft. He'll tell us why. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.